Hello, hello, hello. Here's Mailanka again, continuing with Sri Aurobindo's essays, Divine and Human, with the topic Original Thinking. How shall we recover our lost intellectual freedom and elasticity? By reversing, for a time at least, the process by which we lost it, by liberating our minds in all subjects from the thraldom to authority. That is not what reformers and the anglicized require of us. They ask us, indeed, to abandon authority, to revolt against custom and superstition, to have free and enlightened minds. But they mean, by these sounding recommendations, that we should renounce the authority of Sayana for the authority of Max Müller, the monism of Shankara for the monism of Haeckel, the written Shastra for the unwritten law of European social opinion, the dogmatism of Brahmin pundits for the dogmatism of European scientists, thinkers, and scholars. Such a foolish exchange of servitude can receive the assent of no self-respecting mind. Let us break our chains, venerable as they are, but let it be in order to be free, in the name of truth, not in the name of Europe. It would be a poor bargain to exchange our old Indian illuminations, however dark they may have grown to us, for a derivative European enlightenment, or to replace the superstitions of popular Hinduism by the superstitions of materialistic science. Our first necessity, if India is to survive and do her appointed work in the world, is that the youth of India should learn to think. To think on all subjects, to think independently, fruitfully, going to the very heart of things, not stopped by their surface, free of prejudgments, shearing sophism and prejudice asunder as with a sharp sword, smiting down obscurantism of all kinds as with the mace of Bhima. Let our brains no longer, like European infants, be swathed with swaddling clothes. Let them recover the free and unbound motion of the gods. Let them have not only the minuteness, but the wide mastery and sovereignty natural to the intellect of Bharata, and easily recoverable by it if it once accustoms itself to feel its own power and be convinced of its own worth. If it cannot entirely shake off past shackles, let it at least arise like the infant Krishna, bound to the wane, and move forward dragging with it, wane and all, and shattering in its progress the twin trees, the twin obstacles to self-fulfillment, blind medieval prejudice and arrogant modern dogmatism. The old fixed foundations have been broken up. We are tossing in the waters of a great upheaval and change. It's no use clinging to the old ice floes of the past. They will soon melt and leave their refugees struggling in perilous waters. It's no use landing ourselves in the infirm bog, neither sea nor good dry land, of a second-hand Europeanism. We shall only die there a miserable and unclean death. No, we must learn to swim and use that power to reach the good vessel of unchanging truth. We must land again on the eternal rock of ages. Let us not either select at random, make a nameless hodgepodge, and then triumphantly call it the assimilation of East and West. We must begin by accepting nothing on trust from any source whatsoever. Questioning everything, forming our own conclusions. We need not fear that we shall, by that process, cease to be Indians or fall into the danger of abandoning Hinduism. India can never cease to be India, or Hinduism to be Hinduism, if we really think for ourselves. It's only if we allow Europe to think for us that India is in danger of becoming an ill-executed and foolish copy of Europe. We must not begin by becoming partisans, but know before we take our line. Our first business, as original thinkers, will be to accept nothing, to question everything. That means to get rid of all unexamined opinions, old or new, all mere habitual sanskaras in the mind, to have no preconceived judgments. Anitya Sarvasanskara, said the Buddha. Well, I don't know if I quite agree. There are certain sanskaras that seem to me as eternal as things can be. What is the Atman itself but an eternal and fundamental way of looking at things? The essentiality of all being in itself unknowable, neti neti. Therefore, the later Buddhists declared that the Atman itself did not exist and arrived at ultimate nothingness, a barren and foolish conclusion, since nothingness itself is only a sanskara. Nevertheless, it is certain that the great mass of our habitual conceptions are not only temporary, but imperfect and misleading. We must escape from these imperfections and take our stand on that which is true and lasting. But in order to find out what in our conceptions is true and lasting, we must question all alike rigorously and impartially. The necessity of such a process, not for India, but for all humanity, has been recognized by leading European thinkers. It's what Carlyle meant when he spoke of swallowing all formulas. It was the process by which Goethe helped to reinvigorate European thinking. But in Europe, the stream is running dry before it has reached its sea. Europe has, for some time, ceased to produce original thinkers, though it still produces original mechanicians. Science preserves her freedom of inquiry in details, in the mint and anise and cumin of the world's processes. But, bound hand and foot in the formulas of the past, she's growing helpless for great ideas and sound generalizations. She sits contented with her treasuries. She has combed all the pebbles on the seashore and examined the shoreward gulfs and bays of the oceans beyond and their undiscovered continents. She cries scornfully, "They are a dream. There's nothing there, but mists mistaken for land are a waste of the same waters that we've already here examined." Europe is becoming stereotyped and unprogressive. She is fruitful only of new and ever-multiplying luxuries and of feverish, fiery, and ineffective changes in her political and social machinery. China, Japan, and the Muslim states are sliding into a blind European imitativeness. In India alone, there is self-contained, dormant, the energy and the invisible spiritual individuality which can yet arise and break her own and the world's fetters. We shall stop for today at this point and continue next time. Thanks for listening, and I hope that it's understandable and enlightening, and that you'll tune in again. Bye for now.
This is Oroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.